Hello, everybody. Terrence Lehew here with another episode of the Intellectual Agrarian Podcast, where we talk philosophy from the farm. Today, we're doing one of those episodes where it's not me interviewing someone. That happens almost every other week on the podcast. Today, we are going to go through a quick article that I recently published on Medium.com. It's one that I think has some value to you, the show audience. And if you stick around to the end of our episode, you'll get a brief preview of our interview coming up next week. But today, here is When I See a Dozen Eggs, published on Medium.com last Thursday. It's easy to take what you see for granted. The insight your experience may give you is assumed, often without remembering others may not see the same thing. As an organic inspector and an agrarian, I easily forget that not everyone sees the same things I do in a dozen eggs. If I can't make it to the local farmers' markets, I buy my eggs in the store. I buy eggs which say they are certified organic, humane certified, and a bonus if they declare they are pasture certified. These are qualifications I look for because they represent the set of values I want to see in the world. Here's what I see in a dozen eggs. The farms. There was someone who raised these chickens, from their beginnings as chicks to later in their adulthood as the hens who laid the eggs of breakfast. It is a physical, real place where chickens live and lay eggs. They do not simply pop out of the ether packaged and ready for sale. They were raised and tended to by a human being, likely several human beings who kept the poultry alive and cared for them. It is for this reason I care about the certifications on the eggs. I care if they were organic and humane certified. These are standards which by their nature require a specific standard to be met and maintained to be marketed with their label. If they were organic, I know what was in their feed. I know at least a minimum of their quality of life. As humane certified, I know they have minimum outdoor access requirements. A distinct per-foot measurement was used for indoor and outdoor access. Could these chickens have eaten bugs outside? It's easy to forget how chickens are jungle birds by ancestry. Trees, vegetation, and bugs formed their existence. They roost naturally above the ground at night, attempting to avoid the potential death which ranged across the jungle floor at night. The feed. Due to my work in the organic poultry industry, I have a better idea than most about this. Yet, even in the broadest terms, we all can know that the chickens had feed. The feed they were fed came from an organic feed mill, which purchases grain from organic farmers to grind or mill for poultry feed, along with vitamins and minerals. A majority of each pound of feed consumed was organic grain raised by organic farmers across the United States, possibly even the world. Each farmer was raising food without use of conventional pesticides like glyphosate. Their weeds were hand-pulled or mechanically cultivated with thyme on a tractor. Their fields haven't had conventional pesticides for 3 years minimally. They are raising organic grains for a variety of reasons, most often because it is a better way of life for their families. Unlike with conventional pesticides and herbicides, people aren't getting sick from merely being exposed to the farm. The commitments. We can view a dozen eggs as multiple things, often as commodities, as resources, as nutrition, as a product. I choose to look at them as the representation of an ideology. The eggs I buy are a representation of commitments. Commitments by farmers to raise their chickens in a more humane, natural way. Commitments by consumers to support and encourage these farmers. Commitments by farms to raise grain and feed in a way which doesn't harm people or the environment. Naturally, there will always be exceptions. People who try to cheapen or cheat the systems. They are not the rule. What do you see? Next time you buy a dozen eggs, I encourage you to ask yourself what you see. What does your food represent about the world you live in? Each purchase we make casts a vote for who we are and what we want to see continue in existence. It is the power and folly of the consumer when we make these choices. This is not to provoke guilt, but thoughtfulness. To see food as more than simply fuel. To see it as the connection to another world. Thank you for listening. If you've enjoyed this, be sure to follow us on Medium. There we write not only about food and farming, but also about philosophy and film. Food, farming, philosophy, and film. Look, I made an alliteration. Now, here is a brief clip of our upcoming interview next week.
The premise is that the food that we start with, that comes right out of the garden or right off the field, that particularly in days of our grandparents or great-grandparents, with the seeds that they used, the heritage and heirloom seeds, they were really selected over the centuries to produce high quality in nutrition and in taste and flavors, aromas, everything. And we have more or less neglected that for the industrial model of just raising more and more food for cheaper and cheaper costs. And that's what I mean when we're subtracting nutrition, we're subtracting flavor. I mean, plant scientists, plant breeders didn't worry much about flavor, aromas, and taste, stuff like that, because the plant or the food scientist said, well, don't worry about that. We can take care of that. We can add back flavors and aromas. So don't worry about breeding or trying to retain those in your plants.
You can listen to the rest of our interview with Bob Quinn next Monday on the 24th. It's a great talk. You don't want to miss it. Thank you again for listening. This has been Terrence Lahue and the Intellectual Agrarian Podcast, reminding you to keep farming the dream.